All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league. All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league.
The following is a HoopBall presentation.
Hello and welcome to the Box Score Breakdown Show, a HoopBall presentation. This episode is brought to you by Hawaiian Isles Kona Coffee Company. Get some delicious coffee and taste the Kona difference. Head over to HawaiianIsles.com. Get some. You can also get their coffee on Amazon. And you guys, my name is Adrian Benjamins, and I'm joined by Kurt Beach. Kurt, how are you, brother?
I'm just living the dream, Adrian. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Week one is in the books. How is your fantasy season going after 1 week?
Not too bad. I have the majority of my leagues are doing pretty well. I have one that took a little bumps, but there's still plenty of time. You know, it's a marathon and not a sprint. That was week one. Most of us have about 20 weeks. So, yeah, just looking for some good things to come for that team that's struggling a bit.
I am really glad you just said right now that it is a marathon and not a sprint, because it is amazing, Kurt, how many people freak out after 1 week. I've seen some guys hit the wire in some leagues where I'm like, man, you know, you may want to give that guy a shot here. Like, he's only played a couple games. So you guys, don't freak out after 1 week. You know, a lot of these players, they didn't have a preseason or they're dealing with some minor injuries. A lot of guys I like long-term outlooks who are currently not playing well right now. So As you said, Kurt, I love that. It is a marathon, not a sprint. Play the long game. And so hang in there if you got a guy that's struggling. Give it some time. So I love that. So as you guys know, this is the Box Score Breakdown show. We got a 5-game slate to cover. But before Kurt and I get into this box score, I want to remind the listeners, go get Game Time Premium over at HoopBall. It is amazing. Add drop advice. I think it's worth the price alone for the pickup of the night, which is a daily column, tells you who went off that day, who to grab off of your wire, updated rankings, projections. There's interactive shows with HoopBall pros on a nightly basis. So you guys, it'll help you all season long dominate your leagues. Go get Game Time Premium. It's great stuff. Kurt, are you ready to get into the box scores?
I'm ready, Adrian. Excited to be here.
I'm excited to do this show with you, man. I can tell this is going to be a fun season. All right, first game of the night. I think this was the first game, the Warriors and the Thunder. And, man, the Warriors, Kurt, they do not look good to start the season. I think at halftime, this game was a blowout, and the end score ended up being 120-92. The Thunder just beaten up on the Warriors. I'm going to jump in on the Warriors side first. Going to start with Steph Curry, 23 points, 5 assists, 8 rebounds. He also added 2 threes, shot a perfect 7 of 7 from the line. So good game from him. I'm expecting him to have a big season only because the Warriors are really hurting right now, and I think his usage is going to be pretty good. Draymond Green's been struggling. I don't know if that arm is an issue. You know, I think it was the first or second game, maybe the first game of the season, had an arm issue. I don't know if he's 100%, but only 10 points, 2 steals, 2 assists, 5 rebounds from him, 1-3-4-9. Let's hope he can get healthy because he is a guy I had high hopes for this season, and I think he's going to be okay. Really interesting thing here, Marquese Chris getting the start for Kevin Looney. This piqued my interest, wanted to see how he did. Now, only got 23 minutes. Probably, you know, this is a really tough game to gauge for fantasy analysis only because of the blowout factor, right? Like, guys not getting the full allotment of minutes that they probably normally would see. But 10 points from him, 4 steals is nice. Love that. 3 assists, 4 rebounds. You know, this is a guy I might grab in some deeper leagues where I might need some center help if he's going to continue to start at center with Looney out. D'Angelo Russell, 6 points, only 2 assists, 1 rebound, shot 3 of 10 from the field. I'm a little worried about D'Angelo Russell. You know, he was getting drafted really high and just don't know. It just seems like he's not used to his teammates yet or the role on his team, but let's hope that he gets it figured out soon. Off the bench, not too much to talk about. Again, no Klay Thompson, no Willie Cauley-Stein, Kevin Looney's out. Kurt, what are your thoughts on the Golden State Warriors?
Oh man, Adrian, they do not look good. There was, and the final score actually makes us look closer than it was. There was a point where I want to say they were down by 40 or 50.
Wow.
It was brutal, and I don't know, D'Angelo Russell, he got thrown out, I think, in the third quarter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was getting up in a ref's face, so they tossed him out. He got 2 techs right in a row, same play. So he'll be better, and the nice thing about that is that's not really something you can really glean from looking at the box score. So his owner might not notice that, and like you said, he hasn't been amazing to start the year. He's maybe somebody that you could send a buy low offer for. And speaking of buy low offers, I don't know if there'll be a better time to send offers out on Curry than right now. He had 2 really bum games so far. They've both been pretty bad. His field goal percentage has been horrendous, and I don't think it's going to be as good this year with him being one of the primary shooters on this team. He's going to just draw all kinds of double teams and all the attention on defense, so I don't know, Adrian, would you be sending out some buy low offers for Curry? If so, what kind of guys would you be sending?
Yeah, I would be down to send out some buy low offers for Curry. But, man, I mean, I guess what's really tough is if you drafted Curry, you likely took him in the top 5 picks of your draft. So it's like, you know, how low are you going to go? I mean, are you going to go, like, for example, a guy like Trae Young is really hot right now, man. He is just balling out. So it's like, you know, would you swap Curry out for a guy like Trae Young? If you own Trae Young, which I do in my main home league, would you even want to make that move with Curry struggling? And, you know, I think you made a good point on Curry drawing a lot of defensive attention. I really didn't take that into account this season, that, you know, because the Warriors are missing a lot of their studs this year, no Durant, no Klay Thompson, you're right, the defenses can really just zero in on Curry, making it really difficult. You know, I have Bradley Beal in a bunch of leagues, and he's kind of struggled to start, and that's exactly why as well, is like defenses are just concentrating on him because there's not a lot of other talent on that team. So, Kurt, I like your take on trying to buy low on Curry if you can. I guess you're right, man. You know, he's kind of got off to a slow start with his standards. And, you know, I think you make a really good point on he could have a tough year, but I still would count on Curry. I still think he's going to have a good season.
Yeah, absolutely. He'll definitely be better than this. And it's funny you mentioned the Trae Young offers, because I've got Trae in a couple leagues. I have Devin Booker in every league. I think I was higher on him than most. And after their starts this season, especially Trae, I saw Curry's game here. I'm like, man, I need to be sending out those buy low offers. And Trae came to mind, and I'm looking at it, and I couldn't even send the offer out. Like, yeah. I don't know. He just looks so good. But
dude, if you have Trae Young right now, and you do, I do, you are like salivating. You're thinking, man, I just got this first round talent locked on my team. It's like you don't even want to move that guy. He looks that good right now, man. He is exceeding expectations for sure.
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's move on. Kurt, why don't you tell us what went down on the Oklahoma City Thunder side of this game?
Okay, so like you said, it was a blowout, so not everybody's seeing their regular minutes here. Still, in only 22 minutes, Gallinari was able to put up 21 points, a rebound, 4 threes, and 7 out of 7 from the line, which is about what you expect from him. Steven Adams has been a little quiet to start the season so far. He had 8 points, 9 boards, 3 assists, no defensive stats, 0 for 2 from the line. So I think better things are coming for him. SGA, 19 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, no steals, 2 blocks, a triple, 50% from the free throw line. Terrence Ferguson got the start here, and he did pretty good with it. He had 13 points, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 triples. Chris Paul was a little bit surprising. He only picked up 19 minutes, so it was the fewest among the starters, and he pitched in 10 points, 2 assists, a steal, and 2 threes. Off the bench, the biggest guy here, I would say, is Dennis Schroeder. He went for 22, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, and 4 steals, along with a triple. So he went undrafted in a lot of leagues, and I know Aaron Brewski is super high on him, which makes me super high and interested on him. But Adrian, tell me, what is your take on this team?
So, first of all, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is good, man. I mean, we expected him to be good, and it looks right on pace. I'm not taking too much into this Chris Paul performance just because of the blowout factor. You know, Steven Adams has been surprising only because when they got rid of Jeremy Grant, when they, you know, no Paul George, Westbrook is gone, you kind of thought that Steven Adams would go wild in that front court by himself. Like, you know, Westbrook was siphoning off a lot of rebounds from him. You were expecting him to just put up some big lines, and it hasn't happened yet. I would stick with Steven Adams. I'm really glad you mentioned Schroeder. As you said, a big hoop ball guy, and we're seeing why. You know, what's really surprising me, I will be honest, personally, I was not high on Schroeder, only because when you got Chris Paul and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, it's like, how much is left for this guy? But what I'm really shocked about is that the Thunder are playing sometimes all three guards together on the court at the same time. So if that's the case, I think the minutes are going to be there, and Schroeder can have nights like he had tonight, which is really nice. The other thing that I think is interesting about this team is that, what are they going to do later in the season? You know, if they're in this rebuild mode, Does Chris Paul get traded? Does Steven Adams get traded? I'm stashing Nerlens Noel in some very deep leagues. I don't think you need to even pay attention to him in standard leagues, but in some really deep leagues I play in, I'm really curious if the Thunder are going to end up kind of moving on from some of their veteran guys and go into full rebuild mode. But anyways, that's my thoughts on the Thunder. What do you think about it, Kurt?
I like that take, Adrian. Noel, we all know what he can do with the defensive stats when given the minutes. It's just he's never gotten those minutes. So if he gets that break at some point during this season, I think that's a great deep league kind of stash.
Yeah, definitely. All right. And then, we went over everyone else. Gallinari looks pretty good. 21 points. Didn't do much else here, but I think he's going to be pretty good as long as he stays healthy. All right, let's cruise over to the second game of the day. I think that's the Brooklyn Nets and the Memphis Grizzlies. Kurt, I'm going to start with the Nets. Going to start with a guy I got in a bunch of leagues, Caris LeVert, number two option on this Nets team, is playing pretty well. 27 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, had 3 threes tonight, shot 11-22, a good game from him. Kyrie Irving has been insane. He is starting the season red hot. 37 points from him, a block, 2 steals. Love getting some defensive stats from him. 7 assists, 7 rebounds. What a great all-around stat line here. 10 of 11 from the line, 5 threes tonight, 11 of 27. I mean, he just looks locked and loaded on this Brooklyn Nets team. If you got him, you got to be pretty excited. Joe Harris was a guy that went really late, and he looks pretty good. Just, you know, if he's going to get 30, he got 37 minutes here today, put up 13 points, a steal, 2 assists, 3 threes. We know he could drain from outside, so he looks pretty good. Taurean Prince, another guy that went late that looks like he could be a pretty good player for this team. 12 points, 2 assists, 6 rebounds, 2 threes, shot 4 of 10 from the field. Pretty good from him. DeAndre Jordan with, 23 minutes from him, 6 points, 12 boards, 2 blocks. And then Jared Allen's the one that got 27 minutes. You know, Jared Allen putting up a nice double-double, 14 points, 13 rebounds. This front court was something I wanted to stay away from because I thought that Jordan and Jared Allen could cancel each other out. And, you know, in this game, it was Jared Allen that I think was lit. Like, whoever's going to get that edge in minutes, I think, is going to definitely put up some nice lines. So tonight it was Jared Allen. Spencer Dinwiddie with 16 points and 8 assists, 3 rebounds off the bench. He should definitely be viable, even coming off the bench, because he's seen 30 minutes. Didn't shoot it too great, only 3 of 13 from the field, but he did give you 2 threes, and he did shoot 8 of 10 from the line. I'm trying to think there's anything else really worth mentioning on this Nets team. Nothing really. Kurt, what are your thoughts on Brooklyn?
Well, I think the main thing that I wanted to tune into this game for was to see the battle of the bigs there, DeAndre Jordan and Jared Allen. And we're hearing that they're going to flip-flop depending on matchups on who's the starter. And like you said, I tried to avoid this, but if Jared Allen was sitting there around pick 100 and I needed blocks, which ended up being the case in a lot of my drafts, I tried to get him. He didn't get any tonight, but usually I think he's going to be the guy you want to own, whether he's starting or coming off the bench. And to his credit today, he was 4-4 from the free throw line, and he struggled there a little bit to start the season, so that's definitely encouraging to see. Other than that, nobody really on the bench stands out to me at this point.
Yeah, I think that's a great take, man. You know, if I had to choose, it definitely would be Jared Allen. Just the younger guy whose arrow is just kind of more pointing up, where DeAndre Jordan, the older veteran guy who's kind of, you know, his career's kind of coming downward. So you definitely would rather have that younger guy who's got more upside. And like, I agree with you, on a night-to-night basis, if I had to bet on a guy, I'd be betting on Jared Allen. So love that take. And then, as you said, you know, not too much off the bench. I do love the Nets for fantasy, though. They play a great fast-paced game, which is awesome for fantasy. And so hopefully you got some of these starters, though, because they could be in for a big season. Kurt, what happened over on the Memphis Grizzlies side?
All right, Adrian, before I jump in, I just want to let you know it sounds like your mic or one of our mics was having some issues there on your
recap there. Am I coming in okay now?
You're coming in good now.
All right, let's keep rolling. What went down on the Grizzlies side?
All right, so for the Grizzlies, we had JJJ put up 12 points, 6 rebounds, a steal, 2 blocks, 2 threes. He only played 24 minutes, but he fouled out, so that's understandable. Jonas Valanciunas put up a great game, 16 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, 2 blocks, 3 three-pointers, which was the part that caught my eye. He is still on a minutes cap, so he only played 20 minutes. So imagine this guy with about 8 to 10 more minutes a game. He's going to be great, especially if he wants to become a stretch five and shoot the three. Good things are in store for him. John Morant finally had his breakout game. 30 points, 9 assists, 4 rebounds, a steal, a block, a three. He did have 6 turnovers, but with that line, you probably don't mind so much. Dylan Brooks, 21 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, 3 threes. He also played 38 minutes. Remember, it was an overtime game, but he might be an end-of-your-bench kind of guy, definitely someone you're looking at in deep leagues for sure. Brandon Clark came out and got 10 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and a block. Other than that, off the bench, we had Kyle Anderson with 13 points, 4 rebounds, an assist, 2 steals, 2 blocks. So good line for Anderson in only 24 minutes. Tyus Jones was a little quiet, 5 points, 5 assists, 2 steals. Other than that, Adrian, do you see anything else for the Grizzlies that's really standing out to you from the bench?
Yeah, I in a couple deep leagues I'm in, for example, my home league is a 13-team roto league. I picked up Jay Crowder because I saw he was getting some good minutes. And, you know, even though the scoring wasn't there for Crowder tonight, it was only 2 of 6 for 6 points. I actually had him in my lineup, and I'm not mad because he gave me a steal, 2 blocks, which, by the way, in that league, I'm hurting for blocks and rebounds. Gave me 7 rebounds, 5 assists. So I think he's worth owning in some 12-team or deeper leagues for, like, a guy at the end of your roster. If he's going to see minutes like he saw tonight, he got 38. I think most nights he's going to give you a usable low-end line. So I think he's worth owning. Other than that, you pretty much covered everything, man. You know, we know I'm the biggest JJJ fan on the planet, and his one Achilles heel is he gets into foul trouble. So that slowed him down here tonight, but I'm not worried long-term. Hopefully he figures, you know, still a young guy. Hopefully he figures it out. Really glad you mentioned Jaw. I have him in a few leagues, and really happy to see this breakout. He got hot in the fourth quarter. I think he went off for 17 points in the fourth quarter alone. So really got hot there at the end of the game. Lucky for me, in the spots I got him, it's 8 category league, so I don't have to worry about his 6 turnovers. But I agree with you, Kurt. If you get a line like this, I don't even care about the turnovers. And, you know, other than that, not too much off this bench. It's really the starters that you want. Any closing thoughts on the Grizzlies, Kurt?
I do. I have one, and it's JV. I was trying to buy low on him with his last game, I think, or maybe it was 2 games ago. He put up 7 points and then a bunch of ones. So I was really trying to buy low on him, especially with the minutes cap. Some people don't notice that. They'll just look at the line that he put out. But the 3 out of 5 threes, like I said, really caught me off guard. And so I looked into it, and last year, 2018-2019, he actually shot 48 threes, which surprised me.
Wow.
He made 14 of them, so that's 29%. And then the year before, it surprised me even more. I never remember him shooting threes. He was 30 of 74 for 40%. So over his career, he's actually a 35% three-point shooter. So
wow.
This could be something that we could see continue. I mean, it's not like Andre Drummond going out there and, you know, launching up a few threes and not making any of them. This is something that possibly could stick.
Yeah, and I love him on this team. I think this is a really – he just is a really good fit on this team. A lot of young guys on this team too. So I love these kind of you know, he's not an older player, so it's weird to call him a veteran guy. But I just think he's a great fit. You know, Kurt, I'm really surprised that he only got 20 minutes. He still had a great line here, but really – surprised he only had 20 minutes with JJJ fouling out here in this game. And with this game being really close, I mean, the end score was 134-133. So was really surprised to see him only get 20 minutes, but I love his outlook on this team and for the season. And he was getting drafted pretty high in most of my leagues, mid-round guy and up. So, you know, I think a lot of people, a lot of websites, a lot of places had have high expectations for him this year.
Yes, sir. And I could be wrong, but I think that 20 minutes was due to a minutes cap. I think he's still having. Yeah, he came into the season with a little bit of a foot injury, and I think because of that, they were trying to keep him under 20 minutes.
Ah, that's right. Great call.
Yes, sir. So he was a pretty low minute total in the first couple games, too. But, I mean, imagine if he's doing that in 20 minutes.
Sorry.
If he can get up to 28 to 30, imagine what he can be doing.
Oh, yeah. I agree with you. You know, you guys, who knows, maybe you can float some buy low offers on Valanciunas. Maybe a lot of people like me forgot that he was dealing with an injury and see that, hey, why is this guy only getting 20 minutes? Hey, throw some buy low offers on JV, because I agree with you, Kurt. I really like his outlook for the whole season here.
Absolutely.
All right, guys, let's go over to the third game of the day, the Portland Trail Blazers and the Dallas Mavericks. I'm gonna go over to the Portland side first, and let's start with CJ McCollum, who had a very nice game here, 35 points, 2 steals, 4 assists, 6 rebounds, played 41 minutes, so he played almost the entire game here, shot 8 of 8 from the line, added a 3, 13 of 26 from the field, it's pretty good from him. Damian Lillard doing what he does, 28 points, a steal, a block, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, 7 of 9 from the line. He added a 3, 10 of 20 from the field. You know, Rodney Hood, I think, is interested. This guy's, like, on the wire in every league that I play in. And, man, if he's going to start, if he's going to get over 30 minutes, I think he's worth owning. If you need help in points and threes, I think he's definitely worth owning. And 20 points here, 2 steals, a block. The defensive stats are kind of an abnormality. I don't think you're going to get those defensive stats from him on most nights, but did also add 6 rebounds, 3 of 3 from downtown, 8 of 12 from the field. I think he's worth picking up. I might be trying to grab him in a couple leagues. Whiteside, 6 points, 14 rebounds, 1 block. Love that he went 2 of 2 from the line, 2 of 4 from the field. John Collins, this is a guy I got in almost every league. Believe he left this game with a shoulder injury. I think he's going to get an MRI tomorrow. Might not be good. He may miss some time. 10 points from him tonight. 1 assist, 3 rebounds. So a little disappointed. Did give you 2 threes as well. Was really high on this guy coming into the season as like a late round. I mean, a guy to get at the end of your drafts. I kind of had him as a sleeper type guy, so this is kind of a bummer here. Bazemore, I like off the bench, 11 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1-3, 4-8 from the field. You know, if Collins is going to miss time, maybe Bazemore can see an uptick in minutes. Hezonja as well, didn't have a great game, only 4 points, 2 assists, 8 rebounds in 25 minutes, but I'm going to keep my eye on him. Another guy who could possibly benefit, but not likely in standard leagues, is Scal. Scalabissier, 4 points only in 6 minutes, so just keep an eye on him, but likely Bazemore, maybe Hezonja, the guys that could benefit the most from if John Collins is going to miss any time. Kurt, any thoughts on the Portland Trail Blazers?
I agree with you, Adrian. Rodney Hood is on waivers everywhere, but after this line and being third highest in minutes total, maybe Zach Collins is going down. They don't really have much off the bench besides Hezonja and Bazemore to rely on, so he's definitely somebody that I'm going to be watching. I don't know if I'm picking him up just yet. In terms of Zach Collins, like you said, I love him. He looked amazing in the preseason. I know just preseason, but he looked really good. Mm-hmm. He was hitting all kinds of threes, blocking shots, and that's just a combination that you don't see very often. So if we get some bad news tomorrow that he's going to miss a week or two or maybe more and somebody hastily drops him, I would scoop in and pick him up so fast. So
mm-hmm. I love that take. I love – hey, John Collins, as you said, I mean – a center, or, you know, he plays power forward, that can shoot. He had two. He shot two with three from downtown tonight. Also can block shots. I love centers that don't hurt you. Like, shoots it well from the line. Shoots it nicely from the field. I love these guys. You know, really broke out in the postseason last year, and I thought this was going to be his year. So love that take, Kurt. If somebody drops him, you know, he's kind of gotten off to the slow start. Hasn't really had a big breakout game yet. So if somebody drops him now since he's hurt, I love that take, Kurt. Go get John Collins. Put him in your IR spot. Keep him on your bench. Wait for him to get back.
Absolutely.
All right, Kurt, what went down on the Mavericks side of this game?
All right, so for the Mavs, we'll start with the usual suspects. Porzingis went big with 32 points, 9 rebounds, which is on the higher end for him. That's nice. 5 assists and 2 blocks. He went 3 of 10 from downtown and 7 of 10 from the free throw line. So monster line from him. If you got him in the third round, or sometimes he was even going in the fourth, I think you're in for a fun ride this year. Then you had Luka Doncic, 38 minutes, 29, 12, and 9, with 3 steals, 4 turnovers, 2 triples. After that, you had DeLon Wright, who had a quiet game, followed by a great game on Friday, followed by this one where he put up 8 points, 2 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 triples. Then you had Jalen Brunson. He didn't do a whole lot with 27 minutes. Seth Curry came off the bench for 12 points, 2 triples, and 3 steals. Not a bad line for someone off the bench. Tim Hardaway, pretty quiet off the bench, 11 points. I'm not really racing out to pick up anyone off the bench. If you're in a deeper league, maybe 14-teamer or bigger, you could probably look at Seth Curry. Otherwise, it's kind of the usual suspects here. One starter that I forgot to mention here was Maxi Kleber. He filled in for Dwight Powell, who's still out, and he pitched in a nice line, 14 points, 6 boards, 3 assists, a block, and 2 triples in only 25 minutes. I don't think I'd be racing to pick him up because Dwight Powell's supposed to be back. I think he's either practicing tomorrow or coming back this week. So if Kleber's not already on your team, I probably wouldn't race to pick him up. But I don't know about the debatable thing here is DeLon Wright. I've been hearing a lot of people ask, should I drop him? Should I hold on to him? He only played 23 minutes. But after that line on Friday and what we saw him do to close out the season last year with those triple doubles, I don't think you can drop him yet.
I agree with you. I would be hanging on to DeLon Wright. Looked fantastic in that last game. So you see what he's capable of. So I would hang on to him for sure. And, you know, as far as the rest of this roster goes, it is the Doncic and Porzingis show. And Kurt, can I tell you a funny story? In my home league, a guy took Luka Doncic in the first round, I think pick 9, and we were all shocked. Like, we could not believe it. And I gotta say, man, this guy was on to something, because Luka Doncic is playing out of his mind right now. You know, one of the things I was worried about is did not shoot it great from the line last year. Shot 11 of 14 tonight from the line. So if he's going to do this, man, he looks so comfortable on the court. He looks like a seasoned veteran already in his second year. The sky's the limit for Luka Doncic. So if you got him on your team, man, you must be loving life right now. And Porzingis, too, this is a guy I was shying away from on draft day because of all the buzz on, you know, is he going to get rested? Is he going to be limited? Is he going to play back-to-backs? Porzingis looks fantastic, man. Physically, he looks like a beast. He's playing great. So if you got any of these guys, Doncic or Porzingis, you got to be feeling really good right now. Kurt, you mentioned Powell. I'm glad you did. Really curious to see how this lineup looks when he gets on the court. We're expecting him to start next to Porzingis in that front court. I'm slightly concerned that with Doncic and Porzingis just eating up so much usage, Powell could just give you some low-end stuff, but I still am holding him in a league or two to see how it pans out. So I really hope we see him this upcoming week. Kurt, any closing thoughts on the Dallas Mavericks?
No, Adrian, I think you about nailed it. It's kind of the usual suspects here, and probably not a whole lot that we'll want to look at them for in the future in terms of like new guys popping up unless somebody goes down with an injury.
Man, what a great – can I just say, man, if you're a Dallas Mavericks fan, you like the whole Dirk Nowitzki era comes to an end and you reload right away with Doncic and Porzingis. And now you're in this like – man, I mean – I would be so excited if I was a Dallas Mavericks fan that you're building your franchise on these two young studs. It is amazing, man, that they were able to just quickly, you know, kind of jumpstart the new era of Dallas Mavericks basketball. All right, Kurt, let's go over to the fourth game of the day, the Miami Heat and the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Wolves getting the win here, 116 to 109. I'm going to jump in on the Miami side first. I'm going to start with Winslow, who's been really good this year. They're just surprising, I'm kind of shocked to say. Playing the point guard, starting at the point guard position, and man, 20 points, 6 assists, 8 rebounds. I love that he's contributing all over the place here. Even gave you some defensive stats. 1 steal, 2 blocks. You know, we know shooting is not his strong suit, but shot 8 of 17 here tonight. I'll take that. 2 of 3 from downtown. A perfect 2 of 2 from the line. What is going on with Winslow, man? Great stuff. You know, I was saying go get Kendrick Nunn at the beginning of the week. I hope you did. 25 points, 2 steals, 2 assists, 4 rebounds. Shot 9 of 17. He added 5 threes. This guy looks fantastic. You know, I was really worried when he went off in the first game that, oh, they're missing Jimmy Butler. But Coach Spo says that Nunn is going to start next to Jimmy Butler. So, man, go make sure, double check right now that he's not sitting your wire. I'm sure he's already been scooped up. But if by some miracle he's still sitting there, go grab Nunn. Tyler Hero getting the start for Jimmy Butler. He had 8 points, 4 assists, 5 rebounds, 1-3, 3-9 from the field. Bam Adebayo, a guy that I got in a bunch of leagues. I'm really expecting a big breakout from him this year. 13 points. Love that he gave you some nice defensive stats here. 2 steals, 3 blocks, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 6 of 10 from the field. Didn't shoot too well from the line, only 1 of 5, but I am not going to complain with that line. Let's see, who else? Dragic has been pretty good off the bench. You know, even though he's coming off the bench, getting some good minutes, he's looked pretty good. 13 points, 4 assists, 5 rebounds. Most likely he's already rostered in most leagues. Robinson here had a nice game off the bench, 21 points, 2 blocks, 8 of 12 shooting, added 4 threes. I doubt we're going to roster him in standard leagues. Kelly Olynyk, 13 minutes, isn't going to cut it, only 2 points, so likely you can leave him alone. Really hoping we get Jimmy Butler back soon. Had a baby, so missed the beginning of the season, but I think he's going to be ready to rock this upcoming week. No Deion Waiters yet, so, you know, I am really curious to see how this team is going to look when they get Jimmy back in the fold, if Deion Waiters is in the rotation. Is it going to hurt guys like Nunn and Hero? So, Kurt, what are your thoughts on the Miami Heat?
Man, Adrian, I have to piggyback on the Kendrick Nunn information you put out there. Man, I'm just kicking myself. I'm in about 6 or 8 leagues. I have none shares of none. and it just kills me because last week when we had all these, you know, flash in the pan kind of guys, the PJ Washingtons, the Travion Grahams, the Dwayne Bacons, Tyler Hero to some extent was out there in some leagues, Kendrick Nunn. I went for all these other guys and I didn't pick up Nunn anywhere. Now here we are, not even a full week later, and I think this guy is the real deal. He looked amazing out there. I watched the first half of this game, and he looked amazing out there. And then another thing I was thinking that caused me to not run out and pick him up was the whole Jimmy Butler thing. Mm-hmm. And then, like you mentioned, they're saying that Nunn's going to continue to start. So even if he takes a small ding, I mean, he got 40 minutes tonight, and there was no overtime in this game. This guy looks for real. If you picked him up, even if he goes out there and has a bad game or two, I think you need to hold on to this guy and see how this plays out.
I love that take. And Kurt, just like you, I actually missed out on him in almost all of my leagues. In my home league, I put it's a fab bid to get these guys. I put a low fab bid because I just thought that, hey, that first game of the season, he's just starting and had a great game because no Jimmy. So another guy blew $40 out of a $200 fab budget on him, and I thought this guy was out of his mind. Now I'm completely wrong. If none is going to start next to Jimmy Butler, none needs to be owned everywhere. And this is no fluke. We saw it in the preseason. I believe none had a 40-point game in the
He did.
preseason, so this isn't coming out of nowhere. This guy's the real deal. And if he's going to start, from what we're hearing from Spoelstra, he is going to start next to Jimmy Butler. This guy needs to be locked and loaded. Likely he's been picked up everywhere. Double check, you guys, even in your shallow leagues, double check that he is not picked up because he needs to be owned everywhere.
Absolutely.
All right, Kurt, what went down on the Timberwolves side?
On the Timberwolves side, again, somewhat the usual suspects. We have Karl-Anthony Towns, who has just been on a tear to start the season, making people look amazing if you took him with that number one pick. Tonight was actually a little quieter compared to his last two games. He went for 23 and 11 with four assists, two steals, and a block. He had four threes, but he shot 11 of them, which is exciting. As you saw in that first game, he had seven threes. So if he's going to make this shooting this many a regular part of his game, he is going to be an absolute monster this year. Andrew Wiggins, he went big for 25 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 threes. He also shot 50% from the field and 75 from the line. So Wiggins, who he gets mixed reviews, he was usually out there around like pick 120, 150 in a lot of leagues. I don't know. Maybe he's trying to have some kind of bounce back year here. Like, this is an okay line, and he's been doing all right so far this season. Robert Covington had a bounce back game. He was a little quiet in the last one. He had 11 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and 2 threes. I think this is a little bit on the quieter end in terms of the defensive stats, and he's one of those guys that can go out there and just light it up from downtown. So I think he's in for a good bounce back year as well. One guy that I was excited to see have a bounce back game was Jeff Teague. I own him in so many places, especially in leagues where I didn't get guards early and I needed those assists. He was sitting down there around pick 80, 90. I took him everywhere, and he's been so quiet to start the year. And then he gave that off the wall comment where somebody asked him if he was healthy, and he said he didn't think he'd ever be 100% healthy, which scared me. And I'm trying to think, okay, I'm basically trying to sell low on him and throwing him out there for anything that I can get back. But today he did just what I drafted him for, What all of us drafted him for, if you got him, was just the 8 assists. He got you a 3, 21 points, 10 of 11 from the free throw line. So that's amazing. So good to see a bounce back game from him. Moving on to the bench, we had Jake Lehman with 6 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal. Shabazz Napier, 12 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 triples. I gotta be honest, after those first couple games, I was a little worried that Napier would maybe eventually overtake Teague. One guy that got a lot of hype in the preseason that people were drafting a lot earlier than I was willing to spend a pick on was Jarrett Culver. He's been pretty quiet so far. 2 points, one rebound, one assist, and that's about it. Now, it is possible throughout the season that maybe he takes over and replaces Trevion Graham. I think that would make sense, but sometimes as fantasy players, what we think makes the most sense doesn't always resonate with the coaches. Adrian, what is your take on these Timberwolves?
Man, you are right on. Kurt, I could tell you and I are going to get along well, and we are very much a lot alike. I too, I didn't really understand the Jared Culver buzz. There were people, I in some of my drafts, he was getting drafted in like the sixth round, and I thought people were just way off there, and I think we're seeing it. Just a rookie. This team, the Timberwolves, are pretty strong. They got a pretty strong starting roster, and I just, I do think that there could be a point in the season where maybe they unleash him a little bit more. I don't think he's a guy you need to even roster in standard leagues. Just keep him on your watch list and see if that point happens in the season where they maybe move him into the starting lineup and then make a move on him then. I don't think he needs to be taking a spot on your roster now. The only one spot I kind of disagree with you on is Wiggins. Tonight was a great line. I love that he gave you 6 rebounds. I love that he shot, gave you 4 threes as well. But there's been a couple games already this season where it's just points and not much else. And so, you know, but I think his draft price really reflected how people view him now. He's just kind of an empty scorer. And this is a guy on when he came into the league, I was actually high on him. So I am hoping that he does add more to his game. I hope he does improve, because I do like I do like Wiggins from a reality standpoint, and I hope he does become a nice, well-rounded player. But for fantasy, man, my expectations are a little low. Kurt, in the HoopBall Staff League, I drafted Anthony Davis with the number one pick. I couldn't decide between him and Karl Anthony Towns. I am regretting not going Karl Anthony Towns. He looks fantastic. And, you know, you don't have that injury risk, that injury concern that you have with AD when you draft Kat. He just plays every single game. He looks just like a beast to start the season. He's in for a huge year. I love your take on Teague. You know, I would just, you drafted him, I think, at a good price. So, you know, if you could get something for him, I wouldn't blame you, but I also think you'll be okay. I think there's going to be more lines like tonight in his future. I think, you know, he didn't really have that preseason because of whatever injury he was dealing with. I think he's going to sort through it, and I think he'll be fine. Love your take on Covington. You know, don't panic here, because we know he's prone to have nights like tonight where maybe he only shoots 3 of 10, but usually gives you some outstanding defensive stats. Had 10 rebounds here tonight. Covington should be just fine as long as he stays healthy. Kurt, any closing thoughts on the Timberwolves?
The only thing is I just need to right the ship and say that I'm not a Wiggins fan. I've actually, okay. In all the years, I don't think I've ever owned him in a single league.
Yeah.
I just, the scoring and the, yeah, that's about all you're going to get from him. Man, but
you know, it's really, it's tough because you see Wiggins sometimes and he looks fantastic. Like, athletically, like, you'll see him do this crazy spin move where he gets to the rim and just, you just kind of wonder, like, why can't he be a better basketball player? Like, it seems like he's got the athleticism, he's got the talent, and so it makes you wonder why he can't put it together and be a more all-around player. And, you know, still a young guy. I think, I want to say this is just off the top of my head, I'm guessing, I think he's around like 24. So, you know, I don't know, Kurt, I'm hoping maybe he can still improve, but we got to see it to believe it. I would never draft him more than like 100 or later type of a guy. All right, yes, let's roll to the last game of the night, the Charlotte Hornets and the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers getting the victory 120-101. You know, I was watching this game in the early third quarter. It was much closer than this, so the Lakers pulled away here to get the victory. I'm going to look over on the Hornets side first. I'm going to start with Miles Bridges, a guy I got in almost every league. 23 points is nice. Little bummed he didn't have any defensive stats. No steals, no blocks. 3 assists, 6 rebounds. But he shot 8 of 17, added 2 threes. Perfect 5-5 from the line. I'll take that. Terry Rozier, 19 points, 4 assists, 6 rebounds, 3 threes, 6 of 14 from the field. This is a pretty good game. Cody Zeller with a double-double, 19 points, 14 boards, 3 steals, 3 blocks. This is an outstanding game, actually, from Cody Zeller. Even shot it well. 9 of 13. He even gave you a 3. He took an elbow to the face from Anthony Davis and actually even left this game. Came back. Still finished with a good line. Kind of bummed I didn't take a shot on Cody Zeller at the end of some of my drafts. PJ Washington was pretty good to start the season. Not a great game here, but man, if he's going to get 36 minutes and start, I think he's a guy that should be on your roster. Also, that first game of the season, he had 7 threes, so I love that he can give you some triples. Had 1 3 tonight with 8 points, steal, a block, 6 boards, 1 assist. Dwayne Bacon, I got him in a few leagues, 15 points, 2 assists, 6 rebounds, 6 of 15 from the field, 1-3. Gonna give you some good scoring and some threes. Little worried about his percentages and doesn't do too much else, although I love that he gave you 6 boards here in this one. Off the bench, not too much to talk about on the bench. Graham. We should talk about Graham. Really popular pickup. I'm not too worried. Had a horrific shooting tonight here. 1 of 13 from the field for 9 points. Did give you 5 assists. But look, play 28 minutes. Coach Borrego mentioned that we could see some times where he starts and plays next to Terry Rozier. So I like the sound of that. I think if you picked up Graham, I think you got to hang on to him. Not a good game here tonight, but I think he'll be better than this. Batum is out. Batum, you know, in standard leagues, I don't even know if I'd want to own him. So not too much there. I think that's all I got for the Hornets. Kurt, what do you think of the Hornets?
I think that this team was very interesting because they're so bad and that they have all these young, new talent type guys that you didn't know who was going to emerge. We're starting to see the pieces kind of fall in place. The starters are just going and eating as much as they can with 36 minutes, 29 for Cody. And like you said, he would have had more if AD didn't catch that or give him that bow in the face. Bridges with 37, Rozier with 32, Bacon with 37. And then Graham soaked up most of them from the bench with 28. So those 6 guys are probably the ones you're looking at for the most opportunity here. I agree with you with Devontae Graham. I would hold on to him. That bad shooting night, I mean, that happens for the shooters. He had, before this, 2 really solid games. And when I was watching him, I watched him in, I think I've actually watched all of Charlotte's games so far, just because I was so curious about this rotation and who was going to emerge. And he's looked so good to me. He's looked a lot better than Rozier. And I know Rozier got paid and they want him to be the guy, but this Charlotte team has nothing to play for. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if at some point in the season he either overtook Rozier or, like you said, found a way to get into the starting lineup alongside him. He's looked good to me, minus this bad shooting night. I would definitely be holding tight to him just to see how this plays out.
Yeah, I agree. I'm glad you're kind of in the same boat there, or we're on the same page there. Man, and I love that he took 13 shots. Like, he clearly has the okay to shoot it. And, man, this year for rookies, we're seeing a lot of young rookies coming in. They're not afraid at all. This guy plays fearless. And as you said, Kurt, if you got him on your team, just hang on to him because I love his outlook for the rest of the season as well. I agree with you. I would not be surprised if he at some point kind of takes the reins of this backcourt, or at the very least, he's going to get some good. I mean, he's already getting good minutes. So it's like he's only going to go up from here, guys. So hang on to him. Kurt, what went down on the Lakers side?
For the Lakers, we had AD. He was throwing some bows. He got 29 points, 14 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, 3 blocks, 3 threes, perfect from the stripe at 6 for 6, and 10 of 19 from the field. So a pretty good AD line. LeBron James, 20 points, 6 rebounds, 12 assists, a steal, 4 turnovers, 1 3, and then 5 for 5 from the line, which is nice for LeBron, 4 of 17 from the field. JaVale McGee went out there for 10 points, 4 boards, an assist, and a steal in only 16 minutes. Danny Green chipped in 5 points. He also kind of had an off-shooting night. He went 2 for 10. But Danny Green is one of those guys, you know, he's going to come out and get that crazy high scoring night where he could get you 30 points and 7 to 8 threes, and then he's going to have a night like this where he doesn't do much of anything. But as you've probably heard Dan Vesper say, Danny Green is the guy, like, you just got to throw this game away and look at him from like a week or a month long value. And if you do that, overall, he's definitely going to be worth rostering. From the bench, kind of a big game from Dwight Howard, 16 points, 10 boards, 4 blocks, and 8 of 8 from the field. So that's not a bad line. I'm not very excited about either McGee or Howard. Just going to be a little bit of a timeshare. And I know McGee can do well in limited minutes. So it's kind of tough. But I don't know if Howard does this a couple more times. I know he wants to be part of the team now, you know, and he's less about himself and just doing whatever it takes to win. He's available in a lot of my leagues. I'm going to keep an eye out for him. If I have a bottom end center that I'm trying to replace, he might be somebody that I look to. Quinn Cook, 12 points, 8 assists, 2 triples, decent line for a point guard coming off the bench. After that, not a whole lot on the bench. So I don't know. Adrian, what is your take on these Lakers? Is there anything that I'm missing here?
I think you pretty much hit it all, and love your take on Danny Green. Hang on to him. You know, if he just had a better shooting here tonight, we wouldn't even be saying anything bad about him. And I had him in almost every league last year. It would be aggravating to see up and down, but then at the end of the year, when you see where he finishes on the year for at his player rating, you're very happy. So, you know, as you said, I love how you said you kind of look at him, you know, a long-term view on him, and it's going to have games like tonight, but also that game he had earlier in the season where he went bonkers. So, you know, you just got to take the good with the bad with Danny Green. We know what LeBron is. We know what Anthony Davis is. And then I'm just really curious to see how this team's going to look when Kuzma gets back into the rotation. I think he's probably still a few games away from returning, but I'm hoping we see him maybe the end of the upcoming week. And then I like your take on Dwight Howard. You know, in like a 12-team league, if I was really desperate for some rebounds and blocks, and actually I am in a couple leagues, I would maybe give Dwight Howard a look, because as we saw here tonight, in just 23 minutes off the bench, gave you 10 boards with 4 blocks. So that's what he's capable of. So, yeah, really interesting stuff with McGee only getting 16 minutes here. Kurt, this was our first box score breakdown show. We made it through the night, 5 games. What do you think, man?
I think it was really fun. I'm really excited to be here for my first Sunday show with you. I did one with Josh on Wednesdays, and just really looking forward to this. We had a great time. Could I go back and mention one more thing that I noticed?
Of course.
This was a position battle that I took a note on, but I skimmed over it. On the Golden State and Oklahoma City game, people were getting really excited about Eric Pascal and what he might do. He went for 10-3-1, a little bit of a quiet line. But one guy that stood out to me was Omari Spellman. In 25 minutes, he had 9 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks, and a 3-pointer. So not scoring a lot, so sometimes people don't notice that. But, man, what a diversified stat line here. He's definitely somebody that's on my watch list.
I'm really glad you mentioned that, because I was one of these guys. Now, I'm talking like 14-team leagues or deeper, and I play in a few of those leagues. I was one of those guys that picked up Eric Pascal just to see how he would do with Looney out, you know, Willie Cauley-Stein's not playing yet. So I just wanted to see, would he be the guy in that front court? Does not look like that. With Chris getting the start, and as you said, with Spellman kind of looking pretty good, I think we can all move on from Pascal. I don't think it's going to happen for him. So really glad that you mentioned that. Kurt, where could the listeners find you at?
All right, so the best place to find me is usually on the HoopBall forums. Usually I'm scouring over there. I'm Captain Kanagas over there. So if you want to call me Cap, like either way, it's... I have a Twitter, but I don't use it a whole lot. I kind of follow just the big basketball names, but I'm at Captain Kanegis over there, CaptCainegis.
Awesome. Well, I am at Adrian Benjamins. You guys, this was a lot of fun. Kurt, I'm really excited to do this show with you every Sunday. Kurt and I will be going through the box scores with you guys, telling you what you guys need to know. So hope you guys enjoyed the show. Hope you guys had a good first week. As we said at the beginning of the show, don't panic, guys. Just 1 week. Guys, you know, some guys, they start slow. They didn't have preseason. Hang in there. Don't do anything hasty. It's a long season. As Kurt wisely said, it is a marathon. It's not a sprint. So hang in there, guys. And we'll be back next week. Thank you guys so much. Kurt, thank you very much, sir.
You too, sir. Have a great night. Looking forward to doing this.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.